This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Recession, real or projected? Recession, unemployment or full employment? The puzzle is everywhere. Commenting, the economists say that the recession is in train and the likelihood keeps increasing. And yet, we puzzle about the employment numbers in the U.S., where there's said to be many job openings without enough applicants, where there's said to be a projection of that the jobless number will remain either at 4 or under 4. So what kind of recession? I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report, a global technology firm looking at all continents, transforming the retail space. Chris, a very good evening to you. You brought to my attention company layoff announcements over these last days and weeks, May into June. We have May figures here. I do not see a pattern. I can't say Silicon Valley, aha, Meta, job freeze, or PayPal. I do see a mixture of new companies, especially new companies associated with these last years, and aggression in the stock markets. Do you see a pattern in these so-called job freezes or layoffs? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. It started in tech with the layoffs, then moved to banking, is now moving to retail and other more sensitive trades and business lines that are subject to the runaway inflation that we're all dealing with. So I think it's much more widespread than is being reported. And I think that you could see, as some economists such as Piper Sandler are predicting, that you could see as many as a million layoffs between now and the end of the year. So the pace of layoffs is increasing, but you still have this very odd condition of more jobs available than employees, but the number of jobs available is shrinking dramatically in the last several weeks.
Let's look at sectors of manufacturing. One detail I have from reporting this morning out of London is that copper hit a low that it last saw in late 2020 during the depths of the pandemic. Copper is associated with manufacturing, especially in China. Does this tell us anything that we can rely on about China? I've been reporting on it for several weeks now, as you know. And it is generally non-transparent. Once you say there is a new lockdown, you don't have another statistic. What do you make of the copper fall off and China's apparent slowdown?
So in indicators such as copper, bauxite, other raw materials coming into China that are slowing, that's a good indicator to show that the economy is likely in decline as opposed to ascension. You'll never see that statistic printed by the government itself, but if you look at the imports in as well as the amount of shipping containers and product coming out, it's clear to be able to gain a reasonable amount of truth relative to the health of the Chinese economy.
Bloomberg has been reporting a bad quarter in China, especially when it comes to microchips. Microchips are the high end of all manufacturing. Can we link this to the fall off in copper, to the fall off in other resources? If chips aren't flowing, then the Silicon Valley part of our economy is slowing, then the retail part of our economy is slowing. Does it work like that, knee bone, shin bone, Chris?
It certainly does, but there's a bigger story relative to microchips in China. You now have the U.S. taking active steps to try to block manufacturing tool companies such as the Dutch company ASML from providing advanced manufacturing technology for chips to China. So there's not only a slowdown in the market that's causing disrupted demand, but you have the EU and the US starting to put pressure to minimize Chinese access to advanced tools as part of a competitive streak to prevent advanced manufacturing from growing in China.
And the non-transparency of China, is that the same as it's always been for you? You have a manufacturing facility there, or has it darkened noticeably since the pandemic?
China in the years past has been extremely pro-business in trying to grow businesses in China. Obviously, there are challenges with intellectual property and clarity of some rules. But in the last 6 months, 12 months, the storm clouds on the horizon have become much darker. And the predictability of doing business in China is declining pretty rapidly, making many, many companies rethink about their futures in China.
And are we, the U.S., integrated with China's growth, so that if China gets a cold, or I guess a virus is not a good metaphor. If China experiences a slowdown, we're going to always feel it here, or is this a new phenomenon?
I think this is a new phenomenon. The word that moves around Capitol Hill, the word that's moving in more and more circles of the economy, is the word decoupling. So you're seeing active U.S. government desire and active U.S. government push to reshore certain industries back into the U.S., such as chips. And you see the Biden administration push on the CHIPS Act as one way to do that. But you're also seeing other businesses that are being given guidance or suggestion to decouple from China as a strategic interest. So that decoupling word is very much present, and that's different from years past.
The larger product coming out of China, do we see a change? Do you hear of a change in pricing for containers, of backups at the Port of Los Angeles, or any instance that the supply chain is healing itself because of a fall off in demand?
Container pricing is still high. The Port of Los Angeles is still, let's say, unpredictable at times. So there's still disruptions in the shipping logistics environment, but container costs are still high. Goods from China, however, are starting to drop in price. You may also see the Chinese devalue the yuan as a way to try to boost exports. But there's certainly a noticeable slowdown in that Chinese economy.
So in general, because you're a manufacturer in every continent and you have customers, your clients are in every continent, is there a change of weather about dealing with China since the pandemic? Are we seeing in this recovery that companies promise that they won't get caught with one supplier again? Are they acting upon this, or was this rhetoric that worked in 21, but today with the slowdown, you've got to keep what you've got?
Generally, it's rhetoric. You'll have U.S. companies that say, we want this to be built in the U.S., and you say, okay, we can do that, but it would cost you 25% more. Then they back off of that demand very, very quickly. So the strategic availability of product has not yet translated into companies in the B2B sector willing to pay more. That may change in the future, but I think that from now to the end of the year, to see what China does relative to Mr. Xi's reelection and or things such as Taiwan could have major, major impacts in the future there as to how companies view China as a whole.
Is there talk, is there expectation that after the election extends Xi, that things will revert to the old days of business first and the masking and the shutdown and the surveillance state will lighten? Is there any talk like that, or is that hopeful?
Very unclear at the moment. I would wager that the surveillance state will not diminish in any fact, in any principle, in any way. That once in place is very, very hard to unwind. The real question will be whether Mr. Xi will pivot in a Maoist direction or towards a more capitalist direction if reelected or stays in power to see what direction China will take. That's the million-dollar question.
And finally, commercial real estate, business-to-business real estate. You have properties in many different states. Do you see a change of direction there? Is there a fall off in demand? Are the interest rates discouraging buyers or sellers?
You're mostly seeing a red state, blue state challenge, where in markets such as Florida, you see property in Miami that's going for sky high prices as investors are coming in from New York, from California, as people are moving companies out of Illinois and other to Florida. So Florida and Texas, very hot. California, New York, cooling, and that bigger trend towards business seems to be the further push south towards more business-friendly jurisdictions.
Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.